Welcome, my friends, to War Room number 8. It's hard to imagine that this is only War Room number 8. It feels like War Room 108 or something like that. And to only have 7 meetings behind us, it just seems like we've always had these. I'm just thrilled to see the regulars that come every meeting and see your smiling faces. This meeting is a little different for the regulars than the last meetings. There was no open communicating, no open waiting room, you might say, for everybody to chat before the meeting. And the reason that we did this is because this is a record-breaking meeting for us. We had to actually upgrade our Zoom account in order to absorb all the participants that are coming in today. So please forgive this. In order to control with that many people in the room, having people with the ability to unmute themselves would cause a problem of speaking over people, let's say. There could be 2 or 3 in a room who forget to unmute themselves or mute themselves after they say, and there's a dog barking or some noises in the background. And this is how we are controlling that right now. Now, it could change in the future. So what I'd like to say as before we start the meeting is you will have an opportunity to speak because the War Room is your platform. It's not the speaker's platform. So this is how you're going to have the opportunity to speak. If you will look down in your bottom selection, you will see one called Reaction. Does everyone see that? Click Reactions, and there is a hand on the top left, and that is raise hand. No, that's clap. Chuck, where's the raise hand? Oh, there it is. See the icon down below? It says raise hand. Now, we're having a record number of people, so everybody is not going to have the opportunity to speak. So if you would like to speak at this meeting for 2 minutes, click raise your hand, and then I will see your hand raised on your screen. I will then select you as you come up. So if you want to speak at this meeting, please raise your hand and do so now if you can. Also, if you notice any reaction, when you can't vocalize what your feelings are, there are other ways you can do it. You can hit reactions. You can give someone a thumbs up if they said something that you thought was important. If they said something that, put a tear in your eye, you can send that. You can send a heart. You can send a congratulation. So you can use these and pop those up on your screen instead of using your voice. So is everyone clear on that? Raise your hand and I will give you the opportunity to speak. I am Mike Woodall. I feel absolutely privileged to be your host. We are excited that Janice Bellucci returns to the War Room as our speaker this evening. Before we get started, let me introduce the people who work diligently in the background to make the War Room a success. Now, we couldn't have this War Room going on without Chuck. Chuck is in the background. He is our engineer, but I have the ability to unmute myself. So whenever Chuck hits mute, it mutes the host also for now. But we're still working through the process. Remember, this is only War Room number 8, not 108. So Chuck works diligently in the background and makes all of the Zoom software work and creates a safe environment for all of us. I'm going to be your timer this evening. My task is to keep the meeting on time so that I can keep my word to you to always start and end on time. I'll be timing all of us, and I will be cueing you with a red background. Now, as the host, you should always see me on the very front screen. So I'm going to shoot a red screen in my background that will let you know that your time is up. So when I do that, just close, and we will move on to the next person. Our secretary for this meeting is Linda. Her task will be to keep the record of the participants in each meeting and make a summary of the notes of the meeting. Let's begin with a quote or two that for me signifies our united journey by Martin Luther King. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. And for me, nothing matters more in today's world than to eliminate the suffering of the millions caused by the registry. A virtual concentration camp, a real world humiliation camp for the world to openly mock and jeer, satisfying rage. What is the purpose of the war room? What's our goal? Why are we here? First, what is it not? The war room is not a meeting that will mimic or compete with any other meeting of any type. The war room is unique and one of a kind. Nor is it a place to hear data from any speakers. And by the time you are in the third hour of a two-hour program, you begin to hurt from the relentless force feeding of so much data. Data that can't be consumed and most lost before the meeting finally comes to an end for those who earned the medal of endurance. So what is the war room? Let me begin with another quote from Martin Luther King. As my sufferings mounted, I soon realized that there were two ways in which I could respond to my situation, either to react with bitterness or seek to transform the suffering into a creative force. I decided to follow the latter course. To that end, I created the war room to transform the suffering into a creative force. The war room is a place for us, the suffering. We will only have one guest speaker meeting. We will have other speakers, but those speakers will be you, us, as we build our confidence and find our voice. You see, it's a space where our guest speakers come to listen to us, not just a place for them to drop a few nuggets about what they're doing for our cause and then move on. This is a place where our guest speaker gets to take some golden nuggets back home with them. By listening to those who are most affected, they will become greater presenters. Our purpose is to provide a room for those who are suffering the humiliation, injustice, the perpetual punishment, and the loss of dignity to not only themselves, but of their families and loved ones. Suffering caused by the sex offender laws in America. It's a room where we get to listen to others caught in the same struggle to free themselves from the inescapable web. It's a room where we all are safe to finally realize I'm not alone, to be able to speak, listen, unite as one, as we eventually find our voice, find the courage to stand, and develop the confidence to speak the world we see worth having, the one we deserve, into existence. There are others who stood up to speak a world worth having into existence. On August 28th, 1963, Martin Luther King spoke out to the world, "I have a dream." On September 12th, 1962, John F. Kennedy stood in Rice Stadium and declared, "We're going to the moon. We choose to go to the moon, not because it is easy, but because it is hard." Did Martin Luther King or John F. Kennedy get to witness the future they saw worth having into existence? No. Folks, the bad news is the good news. We may not get to our destiny in our lifetime, but just like Martin Luther King and John F. Kennedy, we must find our voice, develop the courage to stand, and speak our future possibility into existence. As it stands today, we are a divided group of people. I say we are a class of people, splintered throughout the country in individual cocoons, feeling alone, isolated, hopeless, divided, and weak. But we are not alone. We just feel that way. When we include the collateral damages of loved ones, there's millions and millions of us. We are not alone. We must begin to move to the same shared drumbeat. We must begin to unite, to share, speak, to listen, and to be heard. We need a safe environment where we can begin the process of becoming one voice of millions marching the same drum. That, my fellow warriors, is why the war room was created. Together, we can create a safe room to turn to for those suffering from the humiliation and loss of dignity caused by the sex offender registry, to realize they are not alone, to find their voice, to develop the courage to stand and speak the future they see worth having into existence. That, my friends, is my vision of the war room. Now let's get war room number 8 kicked off with Marty Weiss. Marty, I'm going to invite you to unmute. There you go. Marty, are you on?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
All right, Marty, you've got 2 minutes.
Okay. So I'm Marty Weiss, and I've been a registrant since 2012. had some real roller coaster times. I can't wait to hear Janice talk today. I'm really excited about hearing about what went on in Michigan today. I'm sure she'll chat about that too. Being on the registry and everything that I've dealt with on the registry, the bullying and the harassment, it's actually very reflective of the times that I went through when I was younger, growing up gay. And in fact, I just saw a movie this week called Joe Bell. And unfortunately, it's not doing too well. It's going to be leaving the box office pretty soon. It's not doing, like I said, it's not doing well at all. So if you have a chance to see it, it's really incredible. It's poignant about a young man who was bullied because he was gay and he ended up taking his life. So that really, really affected me and really gave me an opportunity to sit back and really think about the things that I do have, the things that I wouldn't have had had I been successful when I tried the same thing when I was 13 years old. So it's now on my all-time favorites list, my top 10. I'm very passionate about that, and I promoted it on Twitter and actually got feedback from some of the stars of the film, some of the filmmakers, which was absolutely shocking because of my status as a registrant. But I have to register again tomorrow because my birthday is on Sunday. Whoopee, I'm going to look forward to that. Anyway, just stay strong, We can fight this and all together. And one of these days, that registry is going to go away. And by the way, behind me, you see my book. Thanks for the infamy. I'll put in the chat how to get a hold of it. It's my autobiography. And I appreciate anybody who checks it out either via ebook or gets one from me. Thanks for the infamy at gmail.com is how to get a hold of me. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Marty. Thank you. And welcome to the War Room. Our next speaker is John Willie. What brought you to the War Room this evening?
Well, I've been friends with Mike Whittall for a number of years now, probably 10 or 12, maybe more. But when I first learned of the predicament that he found himself in, I was quite interested and had a lot of empathy for what he's going through. I really like what you said earlier, Mike, about injustice anywhere is a threat to everyone's justice. And I really sense that there's so many laws. In fact, the thing that probably scares me the most is that we're really good about having laws and then setting precedents on those laws and maybe even setting sentencing guidelines that are very strict. The problem is we're administering law, but we're not administering justice. And that really scares me, one size fits all type of thing. And so I really am afraid that we're losing a whole sense of justice. So that's why I'm here.
All right. Thank you, Willie. Thank you for being a part of the War Room today. Donnie, you have your hand raised. What brought you to the War Room this evening?
I get all of the texts from Axol, and this one looked fascinating, especially with the developments that were mentioned and the things that are coming up recently. I wanted to hear what Janice had to say about that. I am a registrant since 2015, and I'm highly educated in as far as degrees and such things and experience, but it's almost impossible to get obtain employment. And even, for companies that claim they don't consider backgrounds, that's usually not the case when it comes to sex offenses, of course, as all of us probably know on here. So I am on here gathering information and also, wondering if there's anything that we can do to perhaps influence the law some way when it comes to the way that sex offenders are considered for employment purposes, especially if we're applying to jobs that have nothing at all to do with our registration offense. And so I'm hoping to someday see development in that area.
All right, Donnie, thank you for joining us in the War Room today. Appreciate having you. Jim, you have your hand up. What brought you to the War Room today, Jim?
I'm a member. Can you hear me okay?
You hear you just fine, Jim.
Oh, okay, I didn't know. I'm a member of Cure Sort, and so I get news from them. And I just wanted to encourage people that they can win some victories, maybe in everything. Several years ago, we had housing restrictions where you can live. And I heard about this lawyer in the paper. I was helping somebody else. I'm a registrant since 2001, Madison. And I was helping somebody else. And so I had called her because a family member wanted me to take care of their father in a house that was close to the park. So I had told her, would you be able to help me if I lived there? And she agreed pro bono, and that she was fighting other people, fighting for other people against restrictions like that. And she finally won. She won. The state of New York has no restrictions where you could live, from what I know from her doing a good job, Kathy Manley from the ACLU, and we can win victories. And I think other states, we had a precedent, and other states should fight for the right to live where they want to live. So New York State has won that, so where I could live wherever I want. And I encourage others to believe that they can win in victories like that.
All right, Jim, thank you so much for being a part of the War Room today. Sylvia, you are our next speaker. There's a little button on your top right that you can unmute yourself. Hi, Sylvia. Sylvia, are you with us? I'm going to move on to the next speaker. Roger, what brought you to the War Room today?
Mike, great to be here. This is an awesome organization, the War Room. You've got some excellent speakers. Admire the way you're leading the charge for justice. And of course, I always like to hear Janice speak. Also, she's a pioneer in so much of what we're doing, and very creative in deciding how we can gather people together for justice, and then how to execute that, which is very important. I know that field is fair. You know, I'm a tier three, and there's no chance for me. I'll never get off. Then, you know, I hear encouraging words and specific plans of attack against evil bills in California, around the nation, and that gives me hope that maybe right now, you know, my tier three status is going to have to be around a while. But as society sees tier one and tier two people get off the registry, and there's no massive flood, you know, of offenses, that kind of takes away some of the most evil rhetoric that I hear. And so what you're doing here gives me hope. And I appreciate everyone who showed up here. You know, we all want to show up, stand up, and speak up. Together, we can do amazing things. Thanks.
All right. Thank you for being a part of the War Room today. We appreciate having you. Melinda.
Oh.
What brought you to the War Room today?
Wow. Thank you for unmuting me and for recognizing me. I have been following Vicki for so many years. I will say that I so deeply empathize with everyone who is on the registry and their families. I was a registrant. I am no longer a registrant. My situation, wow, you scared me. it was a situation of domestic violence. And so I am one of the very, very fortunate people to have had my case vacated, but I'm very clear in understanding the trauma of being on the registry, the violence that a community that you believed cared about you can perpetrate on you. And so I want to be able to be here to support everyone who is going through this very difficult situation, and do whatever I can with the privilege that I have to have had my situation vacated, to support you and to tell you that I am not going through what you're going through, but I understand the depth of the pain, the difficulty, and the trauma that you and your families are going through. And I so deeply appreciate Vicki. And I also have recently met Kathleen. And hi, Kathleen. And so I'm very humbled to be here, and thank you for recognizing me this evening.
All right. Thank you, Melinda. Welcome to the War Room. Hope to see you again on our next meeting. Tabitha, you are our next speaker. So what brought you to the War Room this evening?
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Perfect. I recently had, first of all, my husband is incarcerated for a sexual offense, and I met him while he's incarcerated, and we married, and we've been married now for 4 years. So just here recently, his two nieces was put into foster care, and I was the only one to step up to try and get them out of foster care. But when I went to court, the judge ripped me a new one because I married my husband, kind of charge that he has.
Oh, yeah.
And I've never been in trouble with the law in any way, shape, or form. But the way it made me feel, I can't imagine what he's going to go through when he gets out. And so I decided I'm going to put my boots on and hit the ground and learn all I can learn. And I've been trying to volunteer my time, you know, get educated on everything. And Ms. Abiki was the only one that sat down and talked to me and to steer me in the right direction. And I really appreciate her for that. And I appreciate what everything you guys are doing. And it's hard. I can't imagine the things you guys have went through. My heart goes out to you, and just know that not only am I here for my husband, but I'm here to support you guys too. Thank you.
Thank you, Tabitha, for joining us. You know, I my heart just bleeds for people in your situation because they choose to stay with their spouse or their loved one. They really get the hammer. I have personally witnessed women having their children taken from them by social services because they choose to stay with their husband or their significant other. It's the saddest thing, one of the saddest stories that I've heard in the past 20 years in the registered nation family. Thank you for joining us, and we'll hope to see you back again soon.
Thanks.
David, you have your hand raised, but David, I'm gonna unmute you, but give me a second here before you start.
Sure, no problem.
I would like to remind everyone in the War Room that if you'd like to speak, raise your hand. And to raise your hand, take your mouse and just bring it down across your screen, and you will see at the bottom where it says reactions. Click reactions, and at the bottom, you should see raise hand, written with a hand. And all you do is click that, and that's going to notify me that you would like your 2 minutes to find your voice and begin your journey of developing the courage to stand and to speak. This is where it starts. Just 1 minute, 2 minute, 30 second, 45 second chances to use your voice in a platform, in a safe environment that you cannot find out there in the world. But in order for us to make a change, we must find our voice. We must speak. So our next speaker, David, what brought you to the War Room?
Yeah, thank you, Mike. What brought me to the War Room really was getting a notice from Janice and seeing the website, the Exol website, and it's been extremely helpful to me. And, you know, having a degree in computer technology, I have to sympathize with the people having difficulty finding the hand. Janice had to help me even log on. I'm using my phone, so it's a lot more difficult than if I were using a computer. But the reason I called in, I've been reading and looking at past video clips and listening to past. By the way, I would have my camera on, but as I said, I had difficulty getting on, so I didn't know how to turn it on, or I would have. But aside from that, I'm a tier one. Next month will be 10 years. I've found an attorney to get me off the registry, and tomorrow I'm going to be mailing him, going to the bank, getting a certified check, and mailing it to this attorney. So I figured I better listen tonight, because If tier ones are going to go away, I'm going to be throwing money away tomorrow, you know? So I'm hoping to hear something good about that shortly.
All right. Thank you, David, for raising your hand and using your voice. Thank you so much. Welcome to the War Room. Okay. Now here's how the War Room works. We must find the courage to find our voice and to use it. So in those times that someone doesn't raise their hand, I will just spontaneously choose one of you. And so if you don't volunteer, I'm going to volunteer you, and you're going to have the opportunity to just speak impromptu. So we are going to do that with Cheryl Floyd. Cheryl?
Hello.
What brought you to the war room today?
I have three sons, two of whom are have sex offense convictions, my oldest and my middle son. My youngest son is a fine, upstanding citizen, never been in trouble with the law. For a while, I had the two sons in prison. Then the oldest one got brain cancer and was released, and he lives with me now. I bought a house in Iowa just so that he could live with me. Thankfully, the community has left us alone, even though I know they know he's here, but we haven't had any trouble whatsoever. But I try to keep a very low profile. I don't ever want him to go outside in our yard unless I'm there with him. Oh. It's just a really weird existence, feeling like you're, you know, in everybody's vision, on everybody's radar, and not sure what they're going to do. And then my son that's still in prison has terrible medical issues, and the prisons are not treating him well. But I don't necessarily think that's because of his conviction. It's just because that's what prison does. So anyway, that's my two cents.
Thank you, Cheryl, for joining us here in the war room. We hope to see your smiling face again. Ron, you are unmuted. What brought you to the war room today, Ron?
Mike, I really am passionate, especially passionate about reform. I'm on the registry because Wisconsin criminalizes certain acts of intimacy between consenting adults. I'll say that again. Wisconsin makes it a crime for consenting adults to engage in certain intimate behavior. My so-called crime occurred with my then adult live-in girlfriend and regular intimate partner. The so-called crime occurred in our shared home, in our shared bedroom, in our shared bed. Wisconsin makes it a crime to touch your intimate partner on their private parts while they sleep, to awake them and then be intimate. So I'd never been in trouble with the law. We had a dispute over something. She was in the police academy, and it was my first run-in with the law, and I was sentenced to 18 years. I went to trial. I did not take a plea. I had no defense because the Wisconsin statute prohibits consent as a defense on grounds that a person who is asleep, even if they're your regular intimate partner, husband, wife of 10, 20, 30 years, cannot factually give consent. I took it to trial. I lost, and I was sentenced to 18 years in prison. I worked in the prison law libraries. It was a bifurcated sentence, 6 years in and 12 years out. Long story short, I worked in the law library the entire 6 years in. It consumed me to almost an unhealthy point. I was released from prison, but I didn't make it very long because even though I worked full-time in the law library, the state took all of my money. I was released penniless. I didn't make it long in the community because I was released with nothing, no food, no money, no hygiene items, no toilet paper. I eventually was hungry. I walked to a social service agency to get a loaf of bread. And for that, I was sent back to prison for 3.5 years. The Wisconsin DOC said, we knew just where you were because we put you on GPS, but you did not have permission to go and get that loaf of bread. However, the game changer is that an attorney from Chicago was kind enough to befriend me in 2019. His name is Mark Weinberg, he's just a genius with these types of things. And he has great respect for Janice. In fact, I had spoken with Janice last year, and she was very, very good to me. I'd started a group here in Wisconsin, and unlike the last speaker, I do not keep a low profile. In fact, I shout it to the mountaintops just how much reform is needed. Right. And I strategized with Mark Weinberg, meeting with him Saturday in Chicago just to talk about our next series of lawsuits. We do currently have a lawsuit in Wisconsin federal court challenging some ordinances as it relates to us on the registry. The city approached us twice with settlement offers, and we declined both. So we're looking for change, not money. And it's just an honor to be amongst this fine group of people, like-minded, very passionate, very, very smart. So thank you so much for having me here tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you for what you shared. Welcome to the War Room. Our next speaker is Ermi. Did I get your name right?
Yes, I go by Emmy.
Oh, Emmy. Hi, yes. Emmy.
Hi.
What brought you to the war room, Emmy?
Well, I know Vicky, and I just think she's amazing. At,
yes, she is.
Everything she does, it's amazing.
I know.
I've been wanting to get here from the time it started, the first meeting you had, I wasn't able to get on for some reason. And then after that, I just kept forgetting about it. And today I was like, oh, I've got to go. It's on right now. I'm by my computer. But I have a son that's in prison that's supposed to be getting out now any day. But, you know, with all the red tape. And he's going to be going into the halfway house for maybe a month and then home. And so I want to do anything that I can because I know he's going to be having a hard time when he gets out. And we have a small group of parents that we met when our kids were in county jail. And we meet every week and just talk about different things, anything that we can do to make the kids' life easier when they get out, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, whatever we can. I'm not the type that is very quiet about it either. I talk to everybody about my son's situation, and you'd be surprised how many people are like, what, you go to jail for that? And then when they find out how hard it will be for them afterwards.
Afterwards, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so
for the rest of their lives.
Yes. And I just want to be involved in whatever we can do to change these laws. But I'm just kind of an optimistic person. I don't think it's going to be much longer, but I might just be wrong.
Yeah. Well, Emmy, thank you for sharing in the war room. Your story is heartfelt. And thank we you. hope to see you again.
Thank you. Definitely.
All right. Our next victim in the war room is going to be Catherine. Catherine, what brought you to the war room today?
Good evening. I really became aware of what a lot of the laws were about 2 years ago. I live in Michigan, and I happened to read an article about some of the changes that a federal judge had declared, and I thought it was rather unusual. I didn't understand anything about the registry, about the circumstances, and about how many lives have been affected horribly by the so-called laws or justice. And so I'm in a position right now where I'm really trying to learn everything I can from a variety of perspectives so I can begin advocating. I didn't know anyone on a registry. I simply began tuning in. I recently retired, so I had a little bit of extra time, and I began tuning in to try and understand what can be done via legislation, via spreading the news, spreading the message that these laws, they're barbarian, they're oppressive.
Barbaric.
We have to figure out ways to help individuals transition from these terrible circumstances. So I have to tell you, I'm just sort of trying to understand and advocate as best I can in the future. In the present, meet with some representatives in Michigan, hope some of the laws that recently were passed will now be changed based on some of the lawsuits that are occurring or being changed. Our Supreme Court today made a very significant change. So hopefully that can help stimulate the change in society. I just don't think our society or our world should behave the way we're behaving. It's not just. It's not moral.
And those barbaric laws and the consequences are barbaric.
The lives affected.
When you were talking, I was thinking about the story I read about the girl who's in 9 years old or second, third, fourth grade or what have you. And in the classroom, the teacher is educating them on the local sex offenders in the area. He had pictures of these offenders on the classroom wall. And one of the other kids said, "Hey, Mary Lou, isn't that your dad?" And that to me, why should that child suffer? Because that is going to impact her for the rest of her life, that one little moment. And I just went to tears when I heard that story.
Thank you, Catherine,
for joining us. Our next speaker is Joyce. Joyce, what brought you to the war? And before you talk, I would like to let Melanie know that she's on deck. You're not going to hide.
Well, I came to listen to Janice Bellucci. Although I've heard about war before Women Against Registry, it is Janice Bellucci who I've been following. Mm. I was plunged into this about 3 years ago when the whole FBI brigade raided our home because my son had been watching illegal images. He was in a very poor state. It was only a couple of months that he did it. If only that, maybe a couple of weeks. He's not really interested. But I want to say that even though it was a nothing with him, absolutely, and he has been plunged into this, my heart goes out to everyone, because I see something that in my life I have never seen before. And I have never realized how totalitarian a government can be that will do this to people who will be unthinking about lives. It has really destroyed me in a way that I got debilitated. I mean, I read all the books. I read the legal books. I read everything. I wanted to get out there. And I thought that my background would kick in and I could become a kind of advocate. I can't. I'm an internal person. I'll support financially. I'll support any way I can, but I cannot do it because it destroys me. To see what's happening just pulls me apart. So I'll do what I can do. And I support Janice 1,000,000% because she is really a natural activist and she will make a difference. So that's why I'm here.
She most certainly is. And you know, Joyce, you are an advocate. You said you can't be an advocate. Showing up here, finding the courage to stand, to find your voice and to speak is an advocate. And the more you do that, the more you enrich the other lives that are involved in our registered nation. So but Joyce, you are an advocate.
But in a little way I am, because I'm not quiet about this. I speak to my friends and some of them are influential. And I speak to everybody I know personally, one-to-one, about it, to attorneys, to different people. I say, do you know about this? Do you know about that? Most people do not. My friends are influential and educated, and they know nothing about the registry, nothing about it. And that is very disturbing because, you know, if this thing of the registry goes further, it'll hit them in ways that they don't even know. Because once you have a system, it'll move on to other people as well. So that's all I have to say.
Absolutely. You know, thank you so much, Joyce, for sharing your story. It was so heartfelt. I felt it. I saw the expressions on the other everybody else's face. Everybody felt the pain and the suffering that you go through. And you can't be a stronger advocate than the person who can communicate at that level and share what's truly, genuinely, and authentically going on inside of them. You give others hope whenever you speak in this room.
Thank you.
Dave, what brought you to the war room?
I see that you've muted me. My name is Dave, and many people within the movement know me as Tigger on MB. I think I use that name not only on Solson, where I've been a member since 2007, but also on Connections now, I believe. At any rate, I am a registrant or a person required to register. My crime happened back in 2007, and the judge told me I would have to serve 10 years on the sex offender registry, was the way he worded it. Only in 2009, my state of Massachusetts came along and decided that they were going to change the length of time on the registry, and they changed it from 10 years to all at 20 years and then or at life, depending on your tier classification. And they also added the fact that they would not count any time that anyone was on probation. So I spent 6 years living in the community, wearing GPS, out on probation, going to sex offender treatment classes weekly and paying the fees. I think I spent about $27,000 in all between the fees and the probation fees and the registration and DNA and all that over those years. The part that So at any rate, I got involved with SoClear first and the Parson up in New York, and then later on with Solson. And I've been on the board of Solson for about 10 years now. It's an older website that has so much on it that it's almost impossible to change it and update it. And it was time for something new. And here you are. Now, what concerned me about coming to this is my first meeting here, was the fact that associating with war, I did not feel that I was a woman tonight. And I wasn't sure that I could contact, I wasn't sure that I was identifying as a woman. I don't think I will ever identify as a woman.
But I know. I had that same thing too, Women Against the Registry. What part would I have?
So I appreciate this being open to all activists. And I think from 2009 on, Mrs. Healy, who is our state attorney general, knows me by name because she sees me every year at the state judiciary hearings. I go into those. I spend the money for terrible, expensive Boston hotel rooms, or I park at the T and take the train on into Boston for the day and back out again. And I've seen some of these other people that are on here, both at meetings in New Hampshire, meetings in Connecticut. I've been to a meeting up, went to a protest up in Maine. I'm pretty much out and about at this point. And like I said, my registration period went from 10 years to 26 years. So I am now I will go in and register for year 15 coming up.
All right. Well, that's I'm on
only 11 left.
But this is my 20th anniversary.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, just last year, 2 years ago, they decided that for my birthday, I have to register on my birthday.
On your birthday.
On my birthday. And they give me 3 days on both sides of it or something, but every birthday I have to go, happy birthday, and go through that. Now, for the first 12 years, I would get depressed 90 days before I had to do it.
Oh, yeah.
You guys know what I'm talking about. To go in there and to just reach for the door and to have to go through this process was excruciating. But I'll tell you, about 2011 it was, I found my voice. And I found my voice for one of the reasons because of Willie Taylor, John Taylor, my friend who spoke earlier. He showed me how to find my voice. He showed me how to find the courage to stand and to speak. He's a very gifted speaker. And he was my mentor through finding my voice. But since 2011, I dress up in a nice jacket. Yeah. I have a nice haircut. I'm clean shaven. They are not going to get a jailhouse video or a picture from me. They're just not going to do it. And so I go in looking my very best, like it's picture day at grade school. And that's how my picture is represented on something I can't control. So, yeah. Thanks, Dave. And Sosin, Dave, in 2011, my presentation, I absolutely mentioned Sosin in 2011 and give them the email address and Sosin information. Their Sosin hotline, I think it was what it was called then. Yeah. Right.
Which War took over. War took that hotline over, by the way.
Yes. And so thank you, Dave, for joining us. You were a true gift. Okay. Now we are going to have time for one more speaker. What I'd like to do is to challenge you to begin to find your voice. It's going to start in little baby steps. And one of those baby steps is just clicking the raise hand. And when you use your voice for 15 seconds or 1 minute or two, you begin to get comfortable. And the more you do it, the more at ease it will be for you. You will be able to stand in front of anyone at any time and communicate what's going on with this in this registered nation dilemma that we're in. We do have a raised hand. Sylvia?
Hello.
Sylvia.
Hi. You can hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine.
I lost my voice earlier when you called me. I got caught off guard. So first meeting, and I just wanted to say hello and thank you. I'm here for Janice myself. We're in California.
Okay.
I just wanted to say, I keep saying we because I'm the fiance of a registrant and we've been in jail, we've been on probation, and we're on the registry because everything that affects him affects me the same. So that's why I've been following Axol, I've been following Sosin, And you can probably tell by my accent, I'm not from the United States, but in the background, you see a nice picture of a nice park in Germany. So that's where I'm from. And we in Germany are in awe. I mean, I live in the United States, in California, but we in Germany, we're in awe of what's going on with the sex offender registry here in the United States. There is no public registry in Germany. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to shame anybody. Nobody wants to relive what we did back in World War II. There's just no shaming involved. So I wanted to listen to Janice, and I'm following Axel because we have the new tiered registry, and we kind of, little backstory, my fiance, he's been on the registry since about 2000. I've been involved since about 2009, I would think. I'm learning more about the laws, and his offense had nothing to do with children. It was a non-contact offense. It was an indecent exposure charge based on stupidity, drugs, alcohol.
Whatever, yeah.
Right. So he is now facing the Tier 3 assignment based on what his past was like, because he was back in the 90s, you know, he was young and dumb. He was like involved in drugs. So now he's being put on Tier 3, not based on his offense, which is Tier 1, but based on a risk assessment, they call it. So anyways,
that happened over 30 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he had a second offense in 2012 or 2013, but it's been like 8 years since then now. And he's never been publicly listed. He's never been in any kind of way on the Megan's Law website. And now supposedly he's going to be on it. So I'm trying to follow and I'm trying to research everything I can to figure out what's going on and why this is retroactively applied to him or anybody in this case, actually. So, but anyway, so thanks for having me. Thanks for...
Thank you, Sylvia, for joining us in the war room. I would encourage you to hook up with Stephen Whitsett.
I have.
Okay, good. What a great guy he is. He's there in Germany. He's a great guy to follow for everyone who's listening to me now. If you can just Google Stephen Whitsett, this stuff is going to come up. He has a YouTube page. Follow him. He's just an absolute brilliant guy. And the other thing that you said that really, really struck me was we are registered. We are going through, it was a we. And that was exactly in my presentation in 2011 when I said, some of you are registered yourself. But if you're a mom, you're registered. If you're a wife, if you are a girlfriend, if you are a child of someone who's registered, if you are a neighbor, if you are a friend, you're registered. That registration affects you, your family, everyone in your life, all of society.
Absolutely.
And you absolutely brought me right back to a presentation I did in 2011. Thank you, Sylvia, and welcome to the War Room.
Okay, thank you.
All right, we have time for one more before we move to our guest speaker. All right, time's up. We are absolutely, we're thrilled to have Janice Bellucci back with us again. You know, for me, I've been following her since 2000. Well, the presentation I'm just telling you about, she and I shared that conference, and I've been following her ever since. And to me, in the registered nation that we are, there's no one making a more significant impact on the laws and making changes for us than Janice Bellucci. I am absolutely honored to have her here, and we all should. Did you know how significant the impact of the U.S. Supreme Court decision, Smith versus Doe, which determined that registration is not punishment, and therefore new registry laws can be applied retroactively? Janice believes the U.S. Supreme Court made a terrible mistake when it decided the case of Smith versus Doe in 2003. This single decision has significantly harmed at least 1 million individuals plus their families, including vigilante violence, homelessness, unemployment, and social death. Janice's presentation will include a discussion of those cases, as well as a major announcement that could educate both the public and the U.S. Supreme Court. It's all welcome, Janice Bellucci, back once again to the War Room. Janice.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that kind introduction. It's a real honor for me to be back in the war room tonight, and especially talking about, I swear, one of my favorite topics ever, which is this, as you said, terrible, atrocious, misguided, oh, there's a whole lot of adjectives I could add, decision. So before I talk about that decision, I want to remind people that our U.S. Supreme Court has not always made the right decision in other cases as well. And the two that come into mind, you might have heard about Korematsu, or maybe not by that title, but there was a time when the U.S. Supreme Court here in the United States said that it was okay to basically send U.S. citizens of Japanese descent to internment camp. And that's the Korematsu decision. Another one is Plessy versus Ferguson. And in Plessy versus Ferguson, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that separate but equal education was okay. So in other words, it was okay that some kids had no textbooks, or they might not even have paper and pencil, while others had, you know, whatever they wanted. That was okay. And in that situation, the decision that more people know rather than Plessy versus Ferguson is a case of Brown versus the Board of Education. So I put that out there for historical context and just say, hey, the U.S. Supreme Court got it wrong again and got it wrong. They really did a face plant here in the case of Smith versus Doe. So I want to talk a little bit about that case. I want to talk about some subsequent decisions made mostly by state Supreme Courts. And then, of course, decision of Doe's versus Snyder. That's the one federal case that we have that they tried to get the attention of the U.S. Supreme Court, but unfortunately the court denied review. And then, of course, we have the spectacular decision that was issued just today by the Michigan Supreme Court. So I read it once. It's 66 pages long. I can't say I have memorized it chapter and verse, but I have some nuggets that I'd like everybody to call people's attention. So let's talk about Smith versus Doe and why it's such a terrible decision. As Mike said, but it bears repeating, is that basically the U.S. Supreme Court ruled now 18 years ago that being on the registry, being required to registry, was not punishment. I call it the P word. So if I refer to the P word, just fill in the blank if you would, punishment. So the U.S. Supreme Court in 2003 basically said that the sex offender laws in the state of Alaska were mere administrative requirements and not punishment. And we all know that's a bunch of malarkey. It's not true. And yet that's what they said. And to make matters worse, what they did was they took basically one statement from a counselor who was basically, it was like paid, or sorry, it was free advertising in Psychology Today magazine. And he said that the rate of reoffense for people on the registry was 80%. Now think about that. An article in Psychology Today that was basically marketing, if not a free ad for this one person, that had absolutely no basis. He was not announcing the results of years of research. He was just saying, oh, wow, this, oh, frightening and high 80%, you know, reoffense rate. And we are still living to this day with that decision, okay? Not just the decision, but that term frightening and high. By the way, I'm really happy to see in today's decision that the court at least questioned whether it was frightening and high. They said they're not sure, but gosh, gee whiz, there's this article out there that kind of debunks this frightening and high statistic. And oh, by the way, it specifically mentions an article in Psychology Today magazine. So that's just fabulous. It's a fabulous example of what we want the courts to be acknowledging in their decisions. But let me go back to Smith versus Doe. So I don't know how many of you know, but the person, the attorney in the case of Smith versus Doe, who was representing the state of Alaska, in some respects, I wish that we could have a live audience. I know we can't, but the attorney who represented the state of Alaska, and, you know, here's a drum beat. I'm not going to do that because of the sound. But the fact is, it was none other than John Roberts. Now, if that name sounds familiar, it should. He is now the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. Okay. And he is a villain, as far as I'm concerned. And in this case, in particular, in this case, because he said, when asked by the court, well, you know, what's this like, this registration process? And John Roberts, the John Roberts, U.S. Supreme Court Justice, said, And I'm paraphrasing, not quoting. Oh, it's just like submitting an application for membership at Price Club. So think about that. Price Club? Who? What are you talking about? For one thing, Price Club wants you as a customer, right? And they want your business and they're going to treat you well. When you're on the registry, we all know you don't get treated well. I don't know, maybe law enforcement does want your business so that they can get more money from many different government sources. But the fact is, that was one of the stupidest things I have ever read. And I had to basically go back to oral argument, the transcript from oral argument just recently, because like, maybe I got that wrong. I do not have it wrong. And we have one of our board members who actually gathered together all the laws in the state of California that affect people on the registry. It filled three ring binders full of laws. That is the Price Club application in California. And I know in many other states, it's that bad or even worse. Okay. So folks, this is such an important decision for those. I'm so happy to hear so many people say they want to be advocates and you want to become educated. You must know this decision, Smith versus Doe, because it has affected registrants in every single state. And anybody who's on the registry for more than a year, it's going to affect you. This is the reason why. When the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that registration is not punishment, they also said, a corollary to that decision is that that means that government at every single level can pass new laws and apply them to you retroactively. Think about it. My friend Frank Lindsay and Plummer, he was convicted in 1979. He entered a guilty plea to a sex offense. And in 1979, there was no such thing as the internet, right? And so how could anybody say that Frank Lindsay agreed to be on the internet in the year 2021? He's still on the registry. So that man has been registering for more than 40 years. His information is on a public website. Because his information, including his home address, was on a public website, somebody tried to break into his home and murder him, okay? And he's not the only one. We've had people who've been killed. Frank was nimble. And he got out of his own home with only a few hammer blows. But the fact is that for many years after that, of course, Frank was so afraid in his own home. So it doesn't have to happen. It doesn't happen that have to happen to you for you to understand that being on a public registry poses danger. You're in danger and anybody in your household is in danger. Okay, so let's go back to Smith versus Doe. And what was it like at that point in time? Well, quite frankly, in the state of Alaska way back then, we're talking about almost 20 years ago, right? So way back then, they registered by mail. That was it. The state of Alaska is a big state, if you ever looked, and they have a pretty small population. So the fact is that in order to get people registered, nobody had to get in their car and drive, and nobody had to sit around for hours to wait to register or be turned down to register. I've listened to many people who told me that experience as well. So in the state of Alaska, they mailed in their registration. They got something in the mail that says, oh, do you still live here? Yes, you do, and et cetera. And the fact is that people at that point in time were registering by mail. So is that such a big deal? Maybe, maybe not. But folks, it's not the registration process in and of itself that's the problem. It's this term called collateral consequence. So remember that term, collateral consequences. It wasn't part of your sentence, okay? It wasn't part of your sentence. I'm looking at the chat room too, and I'm trying to speak louder. So some people are saying I'm too loud, some people not. Okay, I can't please everybody. But the fact is that when it comes to this issue and everything, these collateral consequences are harming people every single day. So in my meetings, I often say that your civil rights are being violated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm not saying that to depress you, make you feel depressed. I'm telling you, I'm corroborating what you already know. Because some people think that they must be delusional. That just can't really be happening. It must be their imagination. And I'm telling you, no, it's not your imagination. This really is happening in your life. Okay, so in the U.S. Supreme Court decision, of Smith versus Doe, it was not a unanimous court. And so there are, and in fact, we had two different dissenting opinions. One of the dissents was Justice Stevens, and he said, no, this isn't right. And he said, you know, what's happening right now? He said it's punishment, by the way. He said the P word. And he also said it's based on a liberty interest. So what the court was looking at in Smith versus Doe was whether or not there was a violation of the ex post facto clause. And Justice Stevens said, well, I don't think we have to look at that. It's really a violation of your liberty interest. Just different parts of the Constitution, you know, folks, I don't think it really makes any difference which one. But then there was another dissent. And so two other justices joined the other dissent, and Justice Ginsburg and Justice Breyer, by the way, he's the only one who's still on the court of the three dissenting justices. They said, yes, it's punishment. And they basically also said that the reporting requirements themselves were exorbitant. I wanted to use the right adjective there. Okay, I'm telling you this because to me, this is fertile ground. And so folks, this is the deal. We're going to overturn Smith versus Doe, okay? Write it on your calendar. Janice said, we're gonna overturn Smith versus Doe. I can't tell you what year it's gonna happen, but it's going to happen. And one important step toward that happening is, and this put on your calendar, in March 2023, please write this down. In fact, on March 3rd of 2023, so not this year, not next year, but in 2023, on the 20th anniversary of this U.S. Supreme Court decision, I'm inviting you. This Janice is inviting you, every single person here, every single person who listens to this later, you're invited to join us in Washington, D.C. We will be on the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court on March 3rd, of 2023. We will be there at noon. And what we're going to do is we're going to educate the public and shame the court. And I mean that. How long has a court been shaming people on the registry? It's time for them to be shamed. They need to know all the terrible consequences of their decision, which was based on a Psychology Today article. All right, we've got new justices. Some are the same, some are different. I'm hoping John Roberts recuses himself because he represented the state of Alaska when we get this case before the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm not going to say that we're going to actually have a case before the U.S. Supreme Court in March of 2023. I can only hope and pray that we will. But regardless of whether or not there's a case pending, the fact is we're going to be there and we're going to educate them. They need to know. They need to know about how many families have been broken apart. They need to know how many people on the registry are homeless. They need to know how many people on the registry have committed suicide. They need to know how many people on the registry have been killed by vigilantes. There's so much they need to know, and we are going to be there to educate them. So again, please join us March 3rd of 2023, Washington, D.C., at noon. Okay, so going on to this decision, it has progeny. So there's little baby Doe versus Smith. I don't want to talk about all the cases that I've had where I've had Doe versus Smith crammed down my throat in a lawsuit because they're always feeding this garbage. Oh, well, the reoffense rate is frightening and high, to which I say bullshit. It's not frightening and high. That's, if you want to talk about a reoffense rate, maybe that's frightening. I know in California, our reoffense rate is quite high, but guess what? Most of the recidivism rate has to do with parole violation. Because in California, when you come out of prison, you're put on parole, you have more than 100 conditions to live by. And some people are living by those conditions for 20 years. This makes absolutely no sense. And you know what? I probably couldn't survive those parole conditions for 1 year myself. Okay, so of the decisions after Smith versus Doe that are in our favor, there are, I counted 11. I'm sorry, 10 decisions issued by 8 states. And I really want to talk about today's decision, so I'm just going to gloss over the rest of them. But let me just say the state of Ohio, 2 decisions. The state of Pennsylvania, 2 decisions. Massachusetts, 1 decision. North Carolina, 1 decision. New Jersey, 1 decision. South Carolina, 1 decision. And Louisiana. And I'm sure I haven't captured them all, but these are decisions that basically at least question the register, question whether or not it's frightening high. Okay. So we have those. And then there's one case that's in federal court. And let me, before I move off to the state cases, most of the state cases, the decision is based not on the federal constitution, but on a state constitution. And while that's nice, it's not as helpful as a decision that's based on the U.S. Constitution. Because remember, in Smith versus Doe, that is a U.S. Supreme Court basically saying that the U.S. Constitution, you know, the way they interpret the U.S. Constitution is it doesn't violate that Constitution, the federal Constitution, if in fact new laws are passed and applied retroactively. And again, we know that's nonsense. So let's talk about this really important decision that actually is related to what happened today. So the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, so this is a federal court, decided in the case Smith, I'm sorry, keep wanting to just put Smith in there. No, this time it's Doe's. Doe's versus Snyder, okay? And in that case, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, it's just one level underneath the U.S. Supreme Court, and they ruled that it was punishment. They said, yeah, these registry laws are punishing. Therefore, this is punishment. Therefore, it violates the ex post facto clause of the U.S. Constitution. They're really clear about it. I love this decision. I actually remember when the first time I read it because I cried. I was so happy when I read this decision that I cried. Why did I cry? Because I've been saying the same damn stuff for a long time, right? And here we've got this really important federal court that's saying the things that we've been saying for so long. However, well, before I go on. So one of the wonderful paraphrasing in that decision is saying, you know what, Smith versus Doe, that U.S. Supreme Court decision did not give states a blank check. And what they meant was that states, and actually it's also, you know, city, county, states, and the federal government, they're all passing new laws and applying them retroactively. And this decision said, I don't think so. The U.S. Supreme Court did not give you a blank check, government. So you have got to behave yourself and that. So that was really a great decision. And I'm happy to report about today's decision as well. So who would have known when Mike and I talked about me coming back and talking about this topic that we would have a brand new decision? Now, this is a state court decision. It's not a federal court decision. But I will tell you that this state Supreme Court in Michigan referenced not only their state constitution, but also the federal constitution. And it's really important how they did this. And it's similar to what happened in Doe's versus Snyder, in that they pivot. They basically, I'm a former military. I was in the military myself. And the thing is, you salute. Okay. So I'm a more senior officer shows up around you. You got to salute. You're saluting the uniform, not the person who's wearing it. So I will salute Smith versus Doe because it is the law. But guess what? We can also figure out ways to get around that. So just like the state Supreme Courts did when they basically relied on their state constitutions, the fact is that this case of People versus Betts, as well as Doe's versus Snyder, they said, let me tell you how these laws are different than the laws were in Alaska at the time Smith versus Doe. Okay, so that's one way to distinguish a case is you go to the facts. And they said, well, you know, in Alaska, people were mailing in their registration. Nobody had to get in their car. Nobody had to do all these other things. And things are different now. Okay. Some people in some states, including California, some people in some states are registering 4 times a year. Think about that, 4 times a year. And many states, it takes up your whole day. If you're lucky enough to have a job, you need to take the day off so that you can go basically do what the local law enforcement requires you to do to register. A whole day off 4 times a year. A lot of people don't get much vacation time. And so you're going to take, that's going to be a vacation day for you. And I know Chuck, you and some other people also talked about it. It's around the time of your birthday. I'm sure you have much better things, Royce, to celebrate your birthday than go register one more time. So one of the reasons I'm so excited about People versus Betts is, again, the state here, Michigan Supreme Court, said it's punishment. Okay. And one of the, so that what they did, of course, is they looked at what the laws are today in Michigan as compared to what they were in Alaska. And they basically said, they saluted the U.S. Supreme Court and said, we know what your decision is, but let me tell you why the sex offender laws in the state of Michigan are different today. And one of the great pivots they did here is they didn't just look at one difference. They said it was an aggregate. And I hope I can find this term that I've underlined here. Yes, the aggregate punitive effects. What? I mean, that's another, you know, for those of you who like to write down important phrases, this is one of them. The aggregate punitive effect of the sex offender laws in Michigan. Okay, so that in and of itself is important. And then they said that those effects negated the state's intention to deem it civil regulation. That's huge. I mean, because basically they were telling, the Michigan Supreme Court is telling their state government, you're full of nonsense. Okay, you say this is, you have a civil intent here, but guess what? That is not true. Okay, and let me just read a sentence here, and this from this decision, because it just blew my socks off. So that they're saying that the sex offender laws in the state of Michigan bore significant resemblance to the traditional punishments of banishment, shaming, and parole because of its limitations on residency and employment. Wow, those are strong words, folks. I mean, it doesn't stop there. Also, the publication of information and encouragement of social ostracism. We haven't had a court talk about social ostracism before, as far as I can remember. And then they said, and the imposition of significant state supervision. What? I mean, folks, this is gold. You know, I swear I'm going to put signs around my office. Maybe I'll paint it on the walls of my office. I mean, these things that we all know are true. We have a state Supreme Court here who is speaking the truth. And they're doing so in order to support their decision that these Michigan state laws basically violate their state constitution, but also the federal constitution. So this is a wonderful decision. And by the way that they did it here is that it was one defendant in this case. Sometimes we attorneys have multiple clients, but there's only one in this case. And what happened is that he was convicted prior to their 2011 sex offender laws, which basically changed the registry dramatically. One way that it changed it, by the way, is it created a tiered registry. And I find that fascinating. I'll tell you why. Because here in California, we have a brand new tiered registry. And guess what, folks? It's not working so well. And it's just started. I'm really concerned. And I won't go into the details of what that is. But I can say that in California, we lobbied as an organization and as a community to get a tiered registry, but we wanted a tiered registry that was based on current risk. And instead, what the legislature gave us was a tiered registry that was based upon conviction. Okay. And so this decision, again, today's decision, People versus Betts, they talked about how that doesn't make sense. And that, in fact, you should be looking at a person's current risk and not what their conviction offense was. So I'm very encouraged by this decision. The precedent, I'm sure people will argue, oh, it's only in the state of Michigan, but I will be citing this case in my future lawsuits. And I encourage every attorney to cite this case in future lawsuits, even if they're not in the state of Michigan, because this is a court that is thinking clearly. And oh, by the way, if you don't want to cite this case, tell you what, you can just borrow the reasoning instead. Okay. So they're very clear here in why they say that this violates the Constitution. And so that the same reasoning can be done in every state, because, you know, I have to admit, I think of the outliers. I think about Alabama. I think about New York. I mean, there's some states out there that are so horrendous. How about this? Like in the state of Florida, once you're on their registry, they won't let you off your registry, their registry, even if you never come back to the state. We have dead people on the Florida registry. The state of Florida knows they're dead, and they still won't take them off the registry. What kind of nonsense is that? If supposedly the reason that these Megan's Law websites exist is to protect the public from people who've been convicted of a sex offense, what the heck, what danger do you think a dead person might, in fact, what danger is there? There's no danger, of course. So I'm getting the flash from Mike, positive legal flash from Mike. I think my time is running up. Is it completely up, Mike? I can see your face. You want to hold up how many fingers I have? I have one thumb. Okay. Do you think
yes, you have 2 minutes.
Excellent. By the way, I'm going to stay for the free-for-all later. Do I think the Betts case will be appealed to SCOTUS? Maybe. The bigger question is whether or not SCOTUS will actually allow it. I will just tell you, too, that that I, in preparation for arguing the case to overturn Smith versus Doe, that's my greatest dream, by the way. I am now a member of their Bar Association. And here's a little factoid. So here I am with my legal fraternity that I joined way back in law school. We didn't have sororities, by the way, just fraternities. And the fact is that after we were admitted, we all went, you know, went into these little rooms and everything, and like, oh, yes, and now a U.S. Supreme Court justice is going to come visit you, right? Guess who came to my room, the room I was in? John Roberts. And I will tell you, then they wanted to take a group photo. I got as far away from John Roberts as I could. But anyway, that's, I digress. So there's a lot to talk about here. I'm happy to answer questions. I'm happy to listen to you talk about these cases as well. But remember, March 3rd, 2023, come join us in Washington, D.C.
All right. Thank you, Janice. This is probably your most powerful presentation. I was sitting on the edge of my chair. Your passion about this cause and the 2023 event was undeniable. And I will tell you, the board just lit up with chats about, I'll be there. Awesome. I'll be there. And we are going to get, you see, for many years, I hear from the leaders in the registered nation, I call it, of how can we, the question, how can we get the splintered organization? How can we get everyone together marching to the same drum? It seems like some of our organizations are bitter with each other. It's just such a distraction, because we can go and listen to the same beat of the drum. And Janice just brought to the table something that is undeniable, something that will lead our entire tribe in the registered nation to become one and march to the same drum. We are going to unite the millions and millions to support Janice on her venture for the 2023, March 3rd, as a matter of fact. The meeting has come to an end. It's 8:30 exactly. And I promise all of you that meetings will start and end on time. However, it's the end of the recording portion of the meeting. In just a second, I'm going to ask Chuck to stop recording. As soon as it stopped recording, we are going to have what we call mics open. So Janice is going to be around. We are going to talk for another 30 minutes. You will raise your hand and you can ask Janice anything that you want, and she will be happy to answer. It's going to be a spectacular mics open. So the War Room is now going to stop recording. Thank all of you for participating in this War Room. Chuck, you may stop the recording.